Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
We know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is what we call it, the Trinity, but the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the word Godhead is. And so St. Nicholas, as he later became known, advocated to show that the people that were there that Jesus is a part of the Godhead, and that's one of his claims to fame. And then there's other stories about how he went out and gave to the poor and all those kinds of things. But how he became the flying reindeer present delivering Santa Claus, I'm not sure. So all those things and cloud out Jesus. But and, you know, and the funny thing, and I chuckle at this because, you know, you go to some schools definitely won't say Christmas. You know, they're on winter break. They're not on Christmas break. But how many know without the Christmas, there would be no break? Amen. But you go to the stores and some don't want to say Merry Christmas, but it's the very Christmas season that allows them to stay in business. So it's almost like the old saying, they cut off their nose to spite their face. And I don't know if you guys know what that really means, but that means that you're doing stupid things is what it boils down to. But in all that, we as his people need to see him in the season. See him for who he is. So I'm going to just allow the scriptures to speak to us today. I've got a list of passages. So first I'm going to finish Hebrews. So let's stay there. So Hebrews chapter 2 says this, and I'm going to start at verse 8. It says, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Everybody say, Jesus is the captain. Jesus is the captain. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing your praise. So see, Jesus is the center of our attention. He's the center of everything we do. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. And everybody knows this because this is some people call Isaiah's book almost the gospel of Isaiah because there's so much about Jesus in it. But in chapter 9, verse 6 says this, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called, everybody say, Wonderful. Counselor, say it after me, Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. And then you can stop there. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. For that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is what we get when we look to see Jesus. Now, notice that Jesus is called the mighty God in this passage. And a lot of people say, well, Jesus never said anything about his Godhead. Well, the Bible says about, talks about him. And we know Jesus did too, but that's for the people that just don't want to hear it. Amen? Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And what did he say to them? Before Abraham was, he said, I am. But if you want to make that grammatically correct, he said Jehovah, because that's who he is. That's the name God gave to Moses, the same name. I am that I am. You tell them that I am has sent you. So Jesus right there claimed, and they knew it because they picked up stones to stone him because he claimed to be the great I am. Amen? That's just one verse. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 35. And I'm not going to read all these because I got a whole bunch of them. But we need to see Jesus. Amen? Luke chapter 1, verse 31, and this is the Christmas story from Luke's point of view. Actually, I said that already, so let's just go there. And then we'll go to Matthew. I should have done Matthew first, but anyway, we'll do this. And it says this, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his king and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And this is an acknowledgement of her virginity. For those that have an issue with that, amen. And the angels answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit, everybody say the Holy Spirit, will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Jesus' birth was miraculous. There are three annunciation of births in the Bible that I can recall. One was an unusual one, but it was Samson. Samson was the first annunciation. Now, you might say, well, Isaac might have been the first. And so if you want to count Isaac as the heir, so that's four. So you have Isaac, Samson, John the Baptist, and Jesus. All four of them had a high position and a high role to play. We know Samson kind of stumbled, but finished strong at the end. But Jesus was the only one that was going to be called the Son of God. All of them were going to do great things, but he is exalted above them because he's seed of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit for those that don't remember, that don't do the old King James. So Jesus is the Son of God. He was told, they told him from the beginning he would be the Son of God. And let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. Everybody say, see Jesus. 18 through 23 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought, which is another way of saying while he meditated, about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus was determined to accomplish He had a goal in mind, and it was not just to be born. It was to die for the sins of the world. Let's go to a few more here. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is Peter bringing the gospel to us Gentiles. This is Peter. And I'm glad I got so many correcting folks out there just to keep me on the right spot, right? I know. I'm just teasing you. And it says here, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, everybody say all, who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on the tree. God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before but God, even to us who ate and drank with him, after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to judge, to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Everybody say, we need to see Jesus. See, there is no other remission for sin. There's no other way you can earn your way in God's favor other than doing it his way. God has had two systems that he instituted over mankind. He instituted the old covenant system where they would bring in sacrifices and offerings as a atonement for sins, but those sacrifices had to constantly be offered over and over. If you read Leviticus, they had to offer two or three sacrifices a day, and that wasn't the ones that counted. You had to bring stuff just for you, but they're offering sacrifices constantly. But then Jesus came, and because that system was phasing out, he brought in the one new system where he was going to offer himself once for the sins of everyone. And so when Jesus died and rose from the dead, 30, 40 years after he died, the old system ended because the temple was destroyed. So there was no longer an atonement to be made with animals. You had to come into or be grafted into the sacrifice that Jesus made, or your sins were not going to be atoned for. Those are the systems that God instituted. And there is no other way you could get atonement unless you go through those two systems. The one system is no longer available, so there's only one available. That's why the Bible says, and I'm going to get to this passage, so let's go there. Philippians 2. Chapter 5, verse 11. Says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, for being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Those in heaven, those on earth, and don't stop there, and those under the earth. That's the dead folk. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus paid the price to be called Lord. And he's the only one that had to pay that price. Everybody say, see Jesus. Because it doesn't really matter if you have anything to give, if you have anything to get. If you keep your eyes on him, he will give you everything. He said he gives all things that pertains unto life and godliness. Everything you need can come from him. There is no lack. There is no shortage. Jesus doesn't have a recession. There's no depression, either emotionally or financially, in him. He is the solution to every man and every woman's problem. But it goes back to, do you believe that? You have to believe that. And it's not hard when you see what he did to get us at to that point. He paid it all. He gave it all. Notice that he said Jesus became a bondservant, but then the next sentence says because he took on the form of a man. In God's eyes, we're nothing but more than servants. We can't even measure up. He's the master. We're just servants. And he came to be with us so that he can show and relate to us. So I'm going to read this last one. So let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 12 through 13. Revelation. Thank you. Was that? Oh, okay. That's okay. I could stand correction. I've been correcting you all your life, so. Right? Yeah, I learned it from my dad, and they learned it from me. Revelation chapter 5, verses 12 through, what did I say? Verse 12 and 13. And it says this, and this is what it's like in heaven. Let me go to 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I'm not sure how many that is. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Everybody say, worthy is the Lamb. Who was slain. Come on. Worthy is the Lamb. Who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And stop there. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, as such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. This shows us distinctly that Jesus and God are equal because the angels in heaven are praising him. Amen? And remember, John tried to bow down to one of the angels and worship him, right? Remember that? And they said, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm just like you. I'm your fellow servant. I'm your brethren. Worship God. But notice they don't say that when they say the Lamb. And of course, we know who the Lamb is, right? The Lamb of God is Jesus. Even John said that, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is who we need to see in this season. Over and over, I listen to Christian radio, and I jump from station to station, and I hear a lot of people say, well, this is a tough season for some people. I mean, I hear that. Oh, people are depressed, and people are sad, and I can understand that, especially if you lost loved ones, and, my dad is gone. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, and not about, oh, man, I didn't get paid this week, so I don't have money to go buy any present. Look, I'm self-employed. I used to count on insurance companies wanting to close their books at this time because that's when they settle all their cases. And so I was like, wait until December rolled around. I was like, yeah, we're about to get paid now. But there's some years that didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And there's some years that we didn't have all that much money. But I wasn't sitting in the corner pouting. Say, man, I can't get nothing from nobody. Something's bad. I don't like Christmas. Christmas is not about that. Christmas is about Jesus. And because I have that perspective, I always know that. I told Annis yesterday, she said, well, do you think there's going to be money coming? I says, there's always tomorrow. I said, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It could come tomorrow. And that's the way I look at life. If things are bad today, there's always tomorrow. Amen? Yeah. Tomorrow doesn't have to be bad like today. If whatever happened today, leave it in yesterday. But tomorrow is a new day. I wake up every morning. I say this as I pray. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to be, I say it three times. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to continue to rejoice. And I am rejoicing, and I'm glad in it. He just had to do that, you know. And so I'm not worried about what happened yesterday. I may have had an awful day. I may have gotten my car, you know, something might have happened to my car. Thank God nothing happened to my wife. So first of all, I'm glad about that. My kids and grandkids are still around. I'm glad about that. My mom is 80. How old is my mom now? 83. I'm glad about that. She's getting around. I mean, she ain't slowed down yet. I was calling her. I called her yesterday. I said, hey, Mom, how you doing? I'll call you back. I'm doing something. I'm glad about it. Yes, my dad went on to be with the Lord, but I'm glad about that. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And he listed not death. And then he didn't even stop with the earthly stuff. Then he said, not angels. And he's not talking about the good guys. He's talking about the bad guys. Because the good angels aren't going to stop us. It's the bad angels. It's the fallen ones that come out to get us. Amen? But he said, but none of them can stop us. I was watching this World War II documentary, and they were showing not just the Holocaust, but just dead bodies. They're just showing the men that died in battle. I mean, they were showing the pictures. Usually they don't show you these pictures. But that doesn't stop us. Even if I die, I'm not stopped. But what did Paul say? To live is Christ, but to die is gain. I don't lose. So we have no reason to be upset because there's always tomorrow. And even if the tomorrow is not here on this earth, the tomorrow will never end in heaven. Amen? So there's, if you keep your eyes on him, but we see Jesus, all things will work out for your good. And I'm getting ready to close. I heard this Jewish guy, he was talking about how he had been attacked in Israel. He was the mayor of Israel. I think it was mayor of Shiloh. And if you guys know where Shiloh is, that was where the first temple was, or the first tabernacle wasn't a temple. And he and his son were attacked by terrorists. They were shot with machine guns and died. And didn't die, excuse me. They got hurt. His son got shot in the head, but he lived. And he was saying that there's a saying in Judaism that says, and get this, all things work together for good. And I wonder where that came from. I said, man, he's quoting the Bible and in the New Testament, he didn't even know it. But of course, Paul was Jewish, and so he wrote that to us Gentiles. See, we had to get into the mind of God because God had revealed his mind to the Jews. Amen? So all things work together for good. Everybody say all things. And even he qualified. He said, that doesn't mean everything is good. Huh? Say everything is not good. Come on, act like you hear, but know what I'm talking about. Everything is not good, but God can make it work for good. Huh? I mean, you might get put in jail, But then God can turn around and make it a ministry to those that are in prison. Huh? You might be somebody that dropped out of school, but then all of a sudden God gives you something that didn't matter if you had a high school education or not. God can turn it around for good if you allow Him to do it. Amen? Bye.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.